like preaching today. Honestly, it's not really my favorite thing to do in the world, and I don't necessarily feel called to do so. But I was honored to be asked, and since I was asked and said yes, I want to do a good job and not let anyone down. It's good to have a challenge, a mission, something to do. Once in 2009, I felt that God had called me to leave everything behind and go and backpack through Florida on a trail called the Florida Trail, a task that would take me about 3 months to complete. Then after I finished the Florida Trail, my plan was to move on and complete the Appalachian Trail. By doing this, my hope would be to simplify my life, make myself fully available to all that I come across, and minister to any needs that the Lord may put in front of me. All in all, I'd planned to be out there hiking for almost a year. What I remember most about that time is feeling that I was walking in God's purpose, that I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was doing something important, something God had called me to do. I felt that I had heard from God and I was obedient to go. Then I got out there and I was alone, bored, nobody to talk to. Needless to say, I was home in 3 months. Before we came back to Providence, Angela and I were hosting a house church in our home. It was exciting. We had vision of reaching out to our neighbors, connecting in deep ways, helping to bring a little change to a community through the power of real relationships and fellowship with Christ. This too made me feel important to God. He wanted us to do something big, something different, and it gave me pleasure to do so. But nobody showed up. And once again, I got lonely. And by far, my favorite part of church is the fellowship it provides. And when nobody shows up to your house church, you don't get that. So we stopped meeting for now. I still feel like we're supposed to have a place of fellowship and worship in our home. But it's funny how I naturally relate God's purpose or calling to something big, something that looks and feels important, not something that can be small and lonely. I have a feeling I'm not alone here. We all long for purpose. We often dream that God would use us in big and major ways. We may say things like, I don't really want to go to Africa, but if God told me to go, I would. But in reality, we really, really wish that He would call us to go to Africa. We want that important job. We want to be used by God in a life-changing way. Those at times seem to be the important task, the big ones, bigger than the little things we may be doing in our lives right now. These little things are easy. We can do them ourselves. They're small and do not need our full attention. We certainly can handle it ourselves without God's help. We might say something to God like, we got this stuff. Give us something big to do. We're ready for the big job, the real work that you would have us do. But I wonder that while we wait for that higher calling from God, how many things get passed over that God would really like for us to do? Small, meaningless seeming tasks that cannot be noticed by us because we're too busy dreaming and wishing for the big job from God. In today's text, we meet the prophet Elijah, and this is the beginning of his ministry, a ministry that would have its ups and downs for sure, but ultimately Elijah would have the honor to do many great things with God. One person summed up Elijah like this: the prophet Elijah is one of the most interesting and colorful people in the Bible, and God used him during an important time in Israel's history to oppose a wicked king and bring revival to the land. Elijah's ministry marked the beginning of the end of Baal worship in Israel. Elijah's life was filled with turmoil. At times, he was bold and decisive, and at other times, fearful and tentative. He alternately demonstrated victory and defeat, followed by recovery. Elijah knew both the power of God and the depths of depression. So let's look at a short story from Elijah's life. You can find it in 1 Kings 17, 1 through 6, or in the Pew Bible, it is on page 253. There's some tough words in here, too. So, at the beginning. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. This is the word of God for the people of God. So right off the bat, Elijah is given a big task from God. He is told to declare what seems to be about a 3-year drought. Now this is a bold move for a couple of reasons. One, just declaring such a thing could set you up for failure, or even worse, make him look dumb or crazy if it rains at all in the next 3 years. Have you ever made a bold prediction? I remember one time a long ago I was watching UK basketball with all of my friends. It's when Tubby Smith was still the coach. And I always really liked Tubby Smith as the coach, and my friends were complaining about him. So I turned to them and I said, "I bet you $20 that this team goes undefeated in the SEC conference this year." Everyone laughed, and one friend quickly came over and shook my hand and took that bet. Well, it's safe to say that I just got caught up in the moment. But guess what? They did it. They won every game that year in the SEC. I never got my $20, but to my friends, I look like a genius, or at least very lucky. But Elijah's prediction is a bit different from mine. He was not caught up in the moment. Why do I know that? Well, this may be the boldest part of his prediction, really. He's not claiming there will be a drought, but tells the king that God is going to cause a drought. Elijah's God, whom he also tells the king he serves. This is bold because the king did not serve Elijah's God. He served the God of Baal, and he even demanded that everyone in his kingdom serve and worship Baal as well. So for Elijah to claim that his God would cause a drought, and also that he served this God, was risky and brave, and that could have very easily caused him his life. Big, important stuff for God being done here by Elijah. God needed him, he heard from God, and he did the big thing that God asked him to do. And because of this, Elijah's life was at risk. After telling the king about the coming drought, we learn that God tells Elijah to go. God told Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." This is the part of the story that really captured my attention. Why? Because it's not a big job. I mean, really, Elijah just did a great big job for God, and now that his life's in danger, God wants him to hide out. Why not give Elijah the strength to fight against the king? Why not rise up an army of followers to fight against the evil king? Why wouldn't God just change the king's feelings towards Elijah? Why would God want Elijah to just run and hide? And also, why would he need him to go somewhere so secluded that he would have to have ravens bring him food? You would think that he could go maybe to a different region or something, where people did not know him and he could still work and provide for himself. At least this way, Elijah could still be around people and have the opportunity to tell them about God. But nope, God says go, drink from a brook, basically do nothing, and I will send you food and let you know when it's time to leave. So Elijah, as far as I can tell from this story, just went. He just did what he was told to do by God, and he did not question it. Elijah did not question the importance of it or the time that it might be wasting. He just went to where God told him to go, and many believe that he stayed in that brook being fed by the birds for 3 years. So why did God do this? Why did God put this in the story? Elijah went on to do many great miracles through God. God fed Elijah, a widow, and her son for many days with only a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. Later in life, Elijah challenged the king to a fire-making contest. They both set up piles of wood on a mountaintop, and they both prayed that their God would set fire on the wood. Elijah prayed to his God, and the king's ministers prayed to the god of Baal. Elijah's God showed up and set the pile of wood that Elijah had set up on fire. And then Elijah prayed for rain, and after 3 years of drought, God answered Elijah's prayers and put the fire out with rain. And lastly, it is said that Elijah never died. He was just taken away one day in a chariot of fire. These are really big, cool things that God did with and through Elijah. But I believe that because Elijah was willing to do the smaller things, like just go to the brook and wait and allow God to feed him there for 3 years, that God was able to trust him with the bigger things that he would have him do later in life. I think early on, God wanted to remind Elijah by taking care of him that it is God who provides for him, that God does not really need Elijah's help in doing the things that he wants to accomplish, but God allows Elijah to help and participate because he loves him. God could provide him with anything, and it all comes from God, and God wanted Elijah to always remember that. So what does this mean for us? God speaks to us and has us do many things, but in the end, it is he who provides everything we will need. He allows us to participate and help, but it is he who really does the work, and it is he who should always get the glory. There are many things in everyday life that we can easily do for ourselves. But I wonder if God told us that he was going to do these things for us, would we even let him? Like Elijah, we need to remember that it is God who provides everything. He controls our lives and our future. He is not only involved in our lives to do the big miracles, but he's willing and able to take care of our everyday needs as well, if we will let him. I believe it's easy to get caught up in only listening for the big tasks that God may have us do. I also believe that it is in the everyday things that we do where God most likely is and is working in our lives. Like Elijah, we must be willing to listen for and to God at all times. And yes, we must be willing to go and be bold for the big tasks God has for us as well. But like Elijah, we must be willing to hear his voice and what he is saying to us today, in this moment, this morning, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, and say, what is God trying to provide for me right now? Is it something that we know we can do for ourselves? Is it something that seems too small for God or a waste of his time? Let me encourage you this morning. He has the time, and he wants to provide. Why? If we let God do the little things in our lives, then we're allowing God to show us that we can trust him, while also allowing us to show him that we are able to be obedient and do whatever he may be telling us to do. And I believe that once we're able to do that, I believe like Elijah, we will be able to hear, trust, and be obedient to the big tasks that God is calling us to do as well, thus making us, the church and a Christian community, as fruitful and helpful to this world as we can possibly be, while giving all glory and honor right back to God where it belongs. Let us pray.